must be out of your goddamn mind. Joe Louis, the greatest boxer ever lived. I'll be with you boys in a minute. He was bad in Chester Clay. He bad in Sugar Ray. He bad in that. Who that? The new boy had.
Mike Tyson.
Look like a bulldog. He bad in him, too. He done whipped Mike Tyson there. He whipped all their asses.
What about Rocky Marciano?
Oh, there they go. There they go. Every time I start talking about boxing, a white man got to pull Rocky Marciano out their ass. That's the one. That's the one. Rocky Marciano. Rocky Marciano. Let me tell you something wonderful. Rocky Marciano was good. But compared to Joe Louis, Rocky Marciano ain't shit.
He beat Joe Louis's ass.
What up, though? This your boy DOC, and welcome to another episode of No Offense Podcast. If you new and you just tuning in, even the reason why the name of this podcast is No Offense, because that's a disclaimer from the beginning. No offense. You got too many emotional motherfuckers out here, period. And it's a straight uncut, straight raw drop, whatever you want to call it. So it's no offense. It's just people speaking straight facts from their perspective and outlook on stuff. You know what I mean? So welcome to No Offense. We got a lot that we're going to talk about today. I want to go ahead and let you guys know, if you're here, go ahead and hit favorite. Go ahead and drop a positive review so that can help us move up the ranks in this podcast world. And support however you want to support. You feel me?
Let me ask you this question, man. Well, what you think is going on in between that Whack 100 Mike Tyson situation? That hearing that it's possibly that they may have faked that situation for promo for that episode.
Man, why? The dumbest shit. I'm trying to figure out how Whack even got an interview with Mike. It makes me question a lot nowadays, man, with the fake news and publicity. But Mike is too authentic for him to, like, fake that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mike was really down with Pac. And I'm just trying to figure out, how did he end up, you know, something being cordial enough to be with this nigga Whack 100, knowing the shit he didn't said about Pac. I don't know. I think it really went down, because the nigga keep talking, Whack keep talking about how he got off first. You know, I'm just, and he posted medicine bottles from Kaiser on Instagram, so I'm like, shit, he got his issue fighting, you know?
Right.
I hope it was real,
because we know who gonna win in that situation. But it's like, I didn't want to just believe it, and it ain't no shade to Gonzo, but I heard Gonzo first, like, man, I'm hearing behind the scenes that shit wasn't real. And I can't even say that it just because Vlad then posted it now. But it's like more and more places are now saying, oh, now it be hearing that it would just publicity. And I'm like, man, that would make me lose some points for Mike Tyson. I'm already, you know, with the Whack 100. That's, it is what it is, what type of individual he is. But like you said, My thing is, only thing I could see is Mike Tyson got a platform now. And if your intentions was to come to drill him, not even physically, but you was gonna drill him because you know he been talking shit about your partner, and you was gonna represent for your partner. You know, if I could see it from that angle, if you was planning on doing that, not just, oh, I never bring him on, but I'm gonna drill him because I'm gonna show the fans I'm still riding for my homie. But say if all that shit fake and you willing to fake all that just to try to get your viewers and subscribers and likes up, it's like, damn, you just succumb to the clout chasing fake antics too.
Mike don't need that. Mike was on Joe Rogan's podcast, got like a million some views. Like, he don't need it. You Mike, you're fucking Mike Tyson, nigga. You a legend already. Whatever, anything he come out and do is funny. He got a cartoon already. You're Mike Tyson. He don't need the clout. Like, that nigga don't need the clout chase. Nigga, you Mike Tyson, nigga. Iron Mike.
They could have just said heated discussion, and that would have brought people in. Just because, you know, off the heated discussion, but to push it towards, oh, it got into a fight and all this and that. Now we got to wait to see, but you got the other dude talking about, that's a part of his podcast staff talking about, you know, I'm not going to release the footage, this and that, whatever, whatever. And I think I seen, I don't know who else that would, no, I think that was Info Minds. Shout out to Info Minds. He had posted a long thing. Basically, you know, I just hope Mike don't fall into that category of willing to do anything, especially your partner and your partner dead, you know what I'm saying, to do that off a dead man's name, just to try to get, because now I can't look at you the same. I got to look at you a little bit weird, like, damn, so you just then went that route?
Well, yeah, that shit don't sit with me right. If that's the case, then you put me on to some new game, because I didn't know that was, you know, the narrative at the, you know, at the present moment, you know, clout chasing. So I'm just like, that's whack, homie. That's bullshit. I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope not. Because that's some whack shit.
You seen, and you know, I know we was briefly, and I want to plug the dude book. And this is something that we briefly was talking about on one of the last episodes that we did. Did you see that Breakfast Club interview? I think I don't know if he's Muslim. I don't know if he's Muslim or Indian or something. But he's from Canada. And he came up there with this book called Unlearn.
Nah. Off of whose platform?
He went up on the Breakfast Club. He went up on the Breakfast Club.
I think the last one I seen off of Breakfast Club was the Eric Sherman interview. I had been tied up doing some shit. I ain't got to catch up to that shit yet.
Okay. Yeah, I think his name, like, Humble the Beast or Humble the Poet or somebody, got a book called Unlearn. And it seemed like it's a dope-ass book. It kind of fits the narrative of the things that we be talking about, you know, even though he's pushing it to the world needs to unlearn, and we talking about our community needs to unlearn and rewire all the different things that were forced upon us mentally and traditionally. Like, even though they say we don't carry a tradition, since we don't have that connection to Africa, so we don't really carry on our true quote-unquote tradition. Mm-hmm. But it's like we have picked up traditions. It's just been toxic traditions of things that we constantly reproduce and constantly
do. Absolutely. We've become very tribal. We're very regional, tribal like a motherfucker. Niggas, look at gangs. Gangs, that's some tribal shit. We don't fuck with this tribe. That ain't nothing but a tribe. We all black, but we don't mess with this tribe. We don't like that tribe. That tribe don't get along with this tribe. And when we go further, we don't mess with those tribes. Just like, look at how when, you know, before these Caucasians, these Europeans took over America, you had the Native American tribes.
Exactly.
And when you look at the maps of these Native American tribes, it was big ass tribes. Huge. Like, you know, you had the Chasata and the Choctaw, and you got the you know what I'm saying, the Blackfoot. Like, you look at the map, those were big regions. So now that hell yeah, no, we still rooted, but it's just it's out of control.
Because my thing is, some things is simple 2 + 2 to me. If I can't say everybody know this information, but I feel like a lot of people know this simple thing, that when it comes, like you were saying, other, you know we live in a capitalistic society, and then everything is broken down into like a form of boxes or percentages. And the black culture, as black people, we're like one of the number one or the number one consumers in America. So if we're the number one consumers in America, and if we chose to spend that money amongst us, you know how rapidly that would change us into not everybody, but so many more millionaires that will eventually, over time, if we the number one consumers and we turned 50% of that money and was spending it with each other, 50%,
man, we will be
so many more millionaires, or you know, 100,000-aires or whatever. It would change so much within our community. But it goes to, I feel like that's a segue kind of. Because we was talking about pocket watching.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers don't like spending their money with another motherfucker because they like, damn, this dollar coming out of my pocket helping this person getting rich.
Oh, man.
They watch that person pocket.
You know what's crazy? Rich niggas pocket watch.
Exactly.
That's sad. I've seen and heard, I know some niggas that got more than a lot of niggas, and they look at it like, I'm not finna spend money with this nigga. It's gonna make that nigga rich.
Exactly. Yep.
And it's not necessarily gonna make somebody rich. It's just it's gonna pull somebody up out of the situation that they in, so they not gonna fuck with him. Nah, I ain't gonna mess with that nigga, man. Like, I'll mess with this nigga before I mess with that nigga. But for what?
They look at it
more than him. You got more than him, but I don't get it, bro. It's like
you still don't see him come up. Yeah, you still don't see him come up. You don't mind seeing people do good, but you don't want to see them doing better than you. Or you had the same, the people that's from the same community, and that person, they don't want to spend that money because they want to make sure that that person stay right there next to them in that same neighborhood. They don't want that dollar that's going to eventually flip enough to get that person where now they can move up out of their circumstances. But you never know. I don't know. It's a weird dynamic dealing with pocket watching. You know, I know we were speaking a little bit off the record, and I was talking about this guy. I'm going to put him out there if he listen or not, this dude named Corey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, dude, and if you're hearing this, this is from the most constructive, you need to get your brain together type of way I can say this shit, because something just not right. And I know it's everything that dudes say and do is basically off pocket watching. It's like, I don't talk to people about money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't do that. I don't give a fuck if I got $5 in my pocket or if I got $50,000 or $150 or $100 million. I do not talk to people about money. That's just not something, unless we're doing business together and it takes us to have to talk about actual money, there's no reason for me just to have conversations about money with people. And it's like the person is always bringing up money, 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 money.
Yeah.
A lot of times, be the motherfucker that really, he feel like he got to impress a motherfucker. So a lot of the lies and different shit that dude be doing, it's like, cause he pocket watching me, but it's like he's trying to prove himself to me, or I don't know what it is. I still can't pinpoint what it is. Like, he's trying to impress me, but my thing is, it's with a whole bunch of lies based off of what you think is going on just because of how I carry myself. But I don't carry myself in any type of way like, oh, I'm better than anyone or anything like that, just because I choose to wear clean clothes.
This is how I am normally. These are my standards of my life.
Right.
Don't make it seem like, you know, I'm trying to stunt on anybody. These are the standards that I live by. This is what I want in life. You can't make me feel a certain way, you know, because you are emotionally not together. You should want to be fly. If it ain't in you to want to be fly, that's on you. I ain't got nothing to do with that.
And fly is subjective to the individual.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that.
Because what may be fly to one person, another person may have their own style of fly, or how they gonna whip what they say nowadays, they drip together and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody don't have to be the same and all that.
It's,
you know?
Not. I just watched a dude on I be watching Lowriders and shit. You know, I'm from out here, so we watch Lowriders still. Well, I do. It's dudes that's lowriding still wearing pro clubs, big ass pro clubs. Now, right. Me personally, I'm not wearing no big ass pro club. First of all, I'm a skinny nigga, and that's not the style no more. So his fly ain't my fly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's still 2019, but this nigga still wearing big pro club. I'm not wearing a big pro club.
But like you said, but what you say he a biker? Them bikes cost like a motherfucker.
It was a low rider. It was
low rider. Low riders cost
same kind of culture. Right, and he got money though.
You know, he choose to invest his money in other things. I don't know. I just never been that type of person. Even if I'm around someone that they may, I don't know. Because I've experienced enough things in life where I understand money do not make you a real individual. And I really believe this. I really believe this person that I'm speaking upon think money makes you a real nigga, and money don't make you a real nigga. It's niggas out here with money that's fake as hell.
They busters. They liars. They perfect rats. Example. Them niggas in Atlanta that be fucking with dudes and females. They get money. What they doing is not real though. You fucking with niggas and women behind people's back. That's some buster ass fake punk. You know what I'm saying? That's lower than low. Just because you got money don't make you real, my nigga. Straight up.
Just like they say, a drunk. What they do? What they say? A drunk person speaks the truth. How does that say?
Don't nobody tell the truth more than babies and drunks and drunks or something like that. Along those lines, my mama said that shit. Dozens of times, but yeah.
Like, if you want to see a person's real character, you know, depending on how drunk they are. But peep when they drunk, or catch a motherfucker when they are on their feet. At least they ain't even got to be like millionaire, but when they on their feet, that's when you really get to see the true character of a person. So it's like,
yeah, give a nigga a few dollars in the bank, get his yeah. rent paid about 2 months in advance, and put some money in the bank. Nigga gonna be on Instagram on top of the world.
If he start acting funny towards the people that he normally would be fucking with, you know what I mean? Or he start acting arrogant, or he start wanting to look down on people because he got money. Be like, oh no, this really been you this whole time. Because if you a sincere, genuine person, and you got real love for the individuals and collectively want, you know, everybody to be doing good, you ain't gonna get a couple dollars and start acting funny towards people or kicking them or trying to throw salt on them or whatever the case may be. Like, that ain't gonna happen if that ain't your character.
I've seen it. I ain't gonna call no names. I'm talking about niggas I'm real tight with. I've seen niggas do it, bro. I've seen niggas throw money in. When they come down, they only got the same broad they used to mess with. That when they was up, you know what I'm saying? It be, bro, this shit crazy, man. This shit crazy. Niggas talk to you different when they was on. Like, niggas is saying some crazy ass shit when they on. Bro, you'll hear the craziest shit. You be like, man, who the fuck this nigga talking to? Soon as everything go down, you be like, oh, it's a whole new nigga. Hey, bro, remember? Hey, man, meet me at the spot. Let's go just get a burger. Hold on, nigga. You was at Ruth's Chris every week. Now right. You want to go get a burger with me? Now I'm burger worthy? Fuck you, nigga. We can't hang out, nigga.
And I'm glad you said that. And this another person. And this a person that I genuinely got love for, dude. You know what I mean? And if he was listening right now, it's an example. He'd know. And I just say the first letter start with an L. I genuinely got love for dude, and I think he just don't understand the reason why me and him as homies, I done known him since high school, and we end up, he was a little bit younger, and I went off to school, and a couple years later, he ended up coming to the same school, and I ended up just running into him like, damn, and we didn't even know each other. Like, we went to the same high school, but we wasn't cool in high school.
Right, like, just knew of each other.
I seen him, like, just a familiar face, and then we ended up getting cool. End up getting cool once we went to school, because I was like one of the only people that I recognized their face from, you know what I'm saying, from the crib or whatever.
Right.
But I will say this, like, when you're just speaking, like, people act different. My homie, every time he on his feet, dude disappear. And he would, I'm talking about, he could disappear for a week, 2 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years. Yeah,
damn.
Literally out of 20 years, that's how I can really go them far. And he know I'm not lying with them years. But soon as things not working out for him, if he done lost his job. And I don't want these things to happen to dog. This a person I can say I love my dude. Like, that's my homie. I wish him all. But this is just a fucked up characteristic. And I don't know how he views it. I don't know how he view it. Like, bro, when you get on your feet, you graduated from college, got you an engineering degree. You get in your field before you got your degree, you know. And I'm not putting this out there like in a bad way, but you know.
Yeah.
Provided roofs over your head, nigga didn't. He know, get nigga pussy. Anytime you was around me, nigga, you know you never was paying for drinks, no nothing, none of that shit. And it's not like you owe me. You don't owe me anything. I just want a person to be real with you. And when you get on your feet, you just disappear. And then a year, 2 years can go by. And it ain't until you somehow lose your job and you have to move back in with your family. Now you picking up the phone, calling a nigga, and you want to be friends now. How you think I view you? And that's the reason why I don't think he know. That's the reason why we bump heads.
Yeah, that see, shit like that is not cool. It goes back to niggas forgot where you came from, bro. You forgot when you was down. You can't never forget when you was down, because that's the most thinking that you do when you down. You got to think more when you down. When you down, you think about who you hung out with. You got to think about where you going to go. Because when you down, man, hold on. I done been down. I turned 30 sleeping in my damn car. Facts. I was, matter of fact, it wasn't even my car. It was my girl's other car, because I didn't have a car at the time. With a job. I'm sleeping in the car, my nigga. So at those times, I know who was around. I know who, hey, D, you sure you got somewhere to stay tonight? Nah, it's cool, bro. Because my pride wouldn't let me go to my mama house. I couldn't go to nobody. I just couldn't. I had to man up. We're going to ride this out until I find me a spot.
Right.
Remember everybody who was around. So for me to get up and then act like I don't know nobody who was around, bro, come on, bro. I can't sleep at night if I did that.
And that's how I'd be looking at it. How can you look yourself in the mirror and not know when you do know how I am? You know what I'm saying? Him and a couple other people have said to me, like, bro, Doc, like, real life Doc, like, you one of the type of people, either people gonna love you or they gonna hate you. It really ain't no in between, because I kind of, the way I am, I kind of force people to keep it real, because I don't know how it happens. It's just how I force people to keep it real, or that fake shit gonna show, and it's gonna show fast if they own some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And they gonna know I'm a peep it, regardless if I say something or if it's in my facial expression or if I just choose to fall back from them. They gonna know I peeped it. So I'm like, I know I'm a flawed person. You know what I mean? I'm not perfect. You know what I mean? But it's certain principles that I just do not
ain't gonna go for. Yeah, I'm not gonna go for just certain shit, bro. And you know I'm not gonna go for it. So either you step out of line now, or I'm gonna find out in a minute. It's like when niggas say, oh man, give me that. When niggas be in the backyard bench pressing. All right, we about to throw these 25s on there. We finna throw these 35s on there. Then we gonna throw these 45s on there. We gonna know what you about when you get under that bar and you can't lift it up.
We gonna know. It's gonna come out.
Yeah,
it's
nigga. That bar gonna fall on your neck, nigga. We gonna know, nigga.
Right. Like,
all right. Stay on these 25s, bro. Keep on working at it. Shit.
The blessing that have came out of a lot of stuff, I don't know why. It's like, I think being born, this could be being born into a nice sized family. And I only got once, you know, one sibling. But, you know, like everybody else, because on my dad's side, you know, he had 12, 13 brothers and sisters. So it's a ton of cousins, all this
God
stuff.
Damn. Hell yeah.
And
your family, nigga. Shit.
Now, this the crazy thing about it. My granddad moved from Alabama to Detroit. Him and his brother moved from Alabama to Detroit. My granddad, he had 12, 13 kids on the west side, and his brother had 11 kids on the east side way Ooh. Back then. Yeah, so it's like, it's so many to the point where, especially in the adult years, if you dating this shit, you gotta really do your checking on this shit to make sure that this ain't your cousin. You fucking, because she may not have your last name, but this may fuck around and be your cousin, and you may have fucked around and just don't even know it, you know, type thing. But I say all that to say, kind of always having, you know, having family get-togethers and all that stuff, I feel like that fucked me up in some ways, because there was certain times in life where I probably felt like I always had to have somebody, not necessarily have someone in a relationship. Just do it. Really, I'm the way life have made it. I think that was something God had to put me through, to put me to where you could do things on your own. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, where sometimes you may like, I gotta have a homie or I gotta do things. You know what I mean? I never been a large crowd type person, but it's like I always just had a homie. You know what I'm saying? Type shit. Right. And I'm glad that just certain things have happened where it ended up breaking me out of that, you know, and it made me see things for what it is. Just like I was just talking about, dude, that was really, I still consider him a homeboy, but just once you show me shit, it's like, nah, you gotta be able to weather this storm and see everything just on your own, because even the people that you really give a fuck about can do you dirty, you know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah,
and not think twice about it.
Man, niggas will set you up so fast.
Man,
easy. The
crazy. And you know, that go back to just the whole pocket watching theme. You know what I mean? Like the shit dangerous. The shit's dangerous.
Yeah, it made me think about Peyton Full, Uncle Ice.
Oof.
That was a true story.
Yeah. That's the worst. Uncle.
And that's in everybody's family, bro. It could be your uncle, your brother, your cousin. Matter of fact, I was watching a true story. Y'all can look it up on YouTube. It was a story. It was like this Houston documentary. I think it was about niggas in Houston or something, where a nigga's own cousin, he came over, smoked with him real quick. His kids is in the, like, you know, these niggas is cousins. He kicking it with him. He smoked one with him. He like, all right, bro, I'm finna go in the back, finna take a nap real quick. I'm finna lay it down.
Dude wake up, his cousin pistol whip him, shot him in the head, blew his eye out. Dude ain't got no eye, and his cousin just robbed him for like, maybe not even like, what, like, I think the nigga said like 1500, 1800 or some shit like that.
That's nothing. Like, come on, man. But bro, that may be something to that person, but that's not the, like, come on. But you know, yeah, that's
cousin.
Yeah, that fucking with. And my thing is, bro, that's crazy. That's why even the learning experience, hopefully that dude end up seeing out of that, is you, even though you would never expect that from that person, but to just protect yourself when you see people that's willing to do anything, people that's willing to do anything once, a motherfucker that's in a desperate situation, you kind of gotta watch them motherfuckers.
Yeah, hell yeah, because it's gonna show their character in the long run.
They may fuck around and somewhere in that dark room when the devil's workshop, you know, when they ain't got nothing but time on their hands, may start looking at you as a lick. Because you doing good. And they may just start feeling like, why ain't this person doing this and that for me? Because it's only so much you could do for other people, especially when you're working on yourself still. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't understand that because they viewing it from a different perspective. They feel like you already up and everything is already good. They don't know everything you're going through. And they may feel like, damn, this nigga ain't... The brain can really trick you when you in a fucked up situation and your stomach rubbing. If you out here hungry, the brain can really put a motherfucker into, you know, to do some crazy shit.
Bro, that's great. You know what? You right, bro. I mean, we seen it now. We don't want to bring it up again, but hey, you know, look what has happened in almost every rap in the hip-hop community. It happens left and right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Niggas get jealous. Niggas get mad. I was just watching the Chi Ali interview. The dude had broke down about Nipsey. He was like crying.
Yeah.
You know, and Vlado weird ass. He gonna put Chi Ali breaks down over Nipsey. Like, bro, stop putting that clickbait bullshit. It was just some real nigga shit.
But did you peep how he? I don't know. Maybe it was just me, but I ain't gonna say Vlad was chastising him, but you see how he was like, yeah, you know, the crazy thing about this story with Nipsey is just like yours. Over, you know, did you see that part when he was saying that to him? He was like, you know, he started comparing and shit like it was the same exact shit.
Nah, exactly. Because Vlad wanted to be part of the culture so much, it's like, you can't relate to us. You don't feel that stress that we feel every single day. Like we was just talking about on the last show. You don't feel that stress. You don't know where that stress comes from. Ain't no bunch of Russian niggas ain't hating on y'all. Y'all niggas getting money. It's billionaires in Russia. Y'all niggas don't come from the same type of culture. Our culture is different. Y'all niggas eat a different way. Like we different, Vlad. But you know, I did peep that. It was just like, come on, bro. Like leave the other niggas' situations. They situations is different. Chi Ali's situation was completely different. It was his baby mama brother. Nigga, the nigga told him you suck his dick. That's some New York shit. You don't tell niggas to suck your dick. You know what I'm saying? That's some New York shit. And I've heard many a New York nigga say the same shit. Like, what? You tell me some shit like that, nigga, I'm stabbing shit at you, nigga. Like, but nigga, like, what?
Not even just New York. I thought that, well,
that's
really
everywhere to me.
Universal. Yeah, universal. That was an unwritten rule back in the day where even if a person had their father around or older male, they would tell you, like, never invite a man to your private unless you want to kill or go to jail over that shit.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just
some people out here in this world that just really go live by those things where you do certain things or say certain things, they only know one way to react to it by how they was raised. And unfortunately, that situation, but someone that's not from that world will look at it like, man, those was just words. But you just don't know, because we could easily just minimize or what people do to like make it look like it's stupid. But if you go to different countries and different places, they got different rules and regulations on how they handle shit that may be odd to us when you're not from their culture.
Yeah.
You go to certain
niggas
places.
Getting their heads chopped off in Arabia and in the Arab country.
Is that you go to certain places, if you steal, you get your hand cut off. But to another person, like, man,
that's extreme. That's crazy.
But that's,
like,
no, that's they fucking rules over there. So you got to go by it. So when you got these unwritten rules in these communities, you got to know if you're going to say certain shit, that certain actions going to come with it. And that's definitely fucked up and foul now. we seen with Tekashi 6ix9ine, dude, he knew that shit out there million.
Getting into.
But he is a dangerous, Tekashi just a dangerous motherfucker.
Because he was a problem a long time ago. But then you gotta think about it. Whoever said that it was okay, whoever, somebody okayed him and whoever he was, they didn't check his character or none of that shit. Just like you were saying, a nigga had to be 100 with you off top or he was gonna fall off. He shouldn't even got that far with no gang, period. He run around here. I know a lot of cats said here and there, but I come from a time where Hispanics didn't say nigga. Now everybody says nigga, and I'm just like, bro, like, I had to check some dude who was on Sunset one night. Me and the homies, we was hanging out, coming from a club, and we talking to some little females, whatever, and one of her friends is like, oh, nigga, I'm like, hold on, bro. Hey, you can't say that. I don't care where you from. I don't care. Oh, I'm from L.A. I don't give a fuck where you from, nigga. I don't know you.
Right, right, yeah.
I'm not your homie. I'm not whoever said that that's okay. I don't care. You're not finna say that around me.
Yeah. And did he respect, did that person respect it or did they argue with
man,
it?
Man, they was drunk and I was finna put hands on at the time. I was working out. I'm with the homies that this nigga was, you know, still swole from being in jail. So we was on some bullshit like, nigga, we can get it cracking right now. We whoop everybody ass at this Denny's, nigga, at 1:30 in the morning. We was on some bullshit. But it was just the principle, bro. I don't know you. You can't run around. It was rules that I was raised on. The Hispanic cats that are respected, they don't say nigga. That's not their word. They don't want to use that word. They got their own word. They don't use that shit.
Right.
But now I guess you got just like they, you know, some niggas took the rules and whacked them. You know,
the
like,
rules.
What?
The rules is it's like it's no rules no more, and that's
it's
where
money.
It's fucked up bad. You know what I'm saying? The money is the money.
Money.
And that's it. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you can do to get to the money, it don't matter. It don't matter. But like for the people that's possibly coming over here from the YouTube, like y'all seen, like I probably out of all the bloggers cover 6ix9ine the least. And especially towards the end, people probably thought that would have been the perfect time with people knowing my perspective towards them from the prior videos to really come down on them. But it really wasn't no reason to, because I'm like, now I would just be repeating myself with the shit that
we
I was saying 6 to 8 months earlier. Yeah, it was like everything people were saying at the end. It was like, bro, we was on this, you know, at the beginning of his career.
Yeah, we said it a long time ago.
Dude getting distorted from them people. The niggas don't really fuck with him. Soon as I seen him the first time go on the Breakfast Club, and for the, you know, the bloods out there, and they say, when he said, oh, I just came home a year ago, talking about he just became a blood a year ago, I'm not going to say that told me everything, but it told me everything I needed to know. Because I know when you, for most people, when they first get into a gang, you know what I mean, unless they already a respected figure in that hood, and I could look at him and tell he wasn't no factor, he wasn't no major respected nigga, you doing a whole bunch of wilding out. You not only gonna wild out on your quote unquote ops, you wilding out because you trying to get approval from the niggas that you just got down with. So he was conflicted within himself. That picture shows so much from a psychological level when I seen him even, what, 6, 8 months or a year prior to that wearing all blue. First, it was cool for him to rep Crips when GS9 and all that shit, Bobby Schroeder and it was popping. And then he jumped on the blood wave.
Okay.
Then I'm already looking at
money.
Exactly. You know, he was doing anything trying to fit in to get to that bag. But then, like you said, also how the money connect to it. Because now you got these dudes, and they may be niggas that there, because it's real niggas and fake niggas everywhere. I just think if them dudes behind them was quote-unquote real dudes, I just think they may uneducated, I'm not going to say guess, but just move by just like, oh, we going to use him to get to the bag, because they seen that he had a little buzz going, okay, so we gonna get behind him, provide him protection, and then store them and get the shit that we want out of him. But if you knew from the beginning this nigga was a whole ass nigga, what make you think that this nigga not eventually gonna do some whole ass shit? He eventually gonna do some whole ass shit, and now it didn't cost a lot of y'all jail time.
You know what's
and
sad?
Then,
there's some whole ass niggas that'll kill you, bro.
Yeah, definitely. You bag a cat so far into the corner, that motherfucker eventually gonna attack.
Whole ass niggas that'll kill you.
that it's whole ass niggas selling dope. They'll kill you, and they straight busters. But that they this money thing has allowed too much foul shit to play. Like, anybody turning down the money, like, turn down the money, bro. It's just like, okay, look at a lot of niggas on the West Coast. I just heard a song. I know who the artist is. I seen on my homeboy page, one of the blood homies from Inglewood. Niggas, it's niggas that don't like Blueface. They dissing Blueface. They like, nigga, you ain't no real Crip, this and that. You just started. First of all, I'm I can say this. I can speak for the West Coast. When you start gang banging, you in either junior high or high school. You don't start banging super hard after, nigga, by 21, you make it to 21, you pretty much damn near on your way to be an OG. You don't gotta bang like that no more.
This nigga is learning how to crip walk in front of us.
Right.
You can tell that this nigga did not know how to crip walk when he first got out.
Hold on.
He's getting better and better.
Yes, and he's saying it. And he's standing in front of us. Hey, y'all, I'm getting better, huh? Like, right, wow. Like,
man, you should have been on how to if that's where you from and this is what you really was. I'm like, duh. Like, nigga,
niggas,
what?
Niggas was crip walking in junior high saying cuz already because the essays is already cracking. The essays was fucking bitches, selling dope, getting high, and it was gang banging in junior high school. I can't speak for nobody else's generation, but for my generation, from 94, 95, 96, essays in junior high was gang banging already. It was ready to stab niggas and shit. They was doing all kind of shit. So nigga, it was bang or get your ass beat, or nigga, you gonna fight or get your ass whipped by these essays. Them niggas was banging. So if you wasn't learning how to crip walk in junior high, high school, and you get out, it's a wrap. Leave it alone.
Something gonna, and I don't wish this upon, but it's gonna, you know, we live in this world star society and everything. Eventually, you know, and it's going, it could come from multiple different angles when people really, especially if people from your own hometown start really coming at them and that goes viral enough where people then, motherfuckers from out of state gonna start pressing Blueface. But then at the same time, the same thing I say about the game is a super talented artist, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a super talented artist. Now, all the antics and shit to me has what decreased him on if he was in my top 20 of rappers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, talent. Talking about Kim Kardashian. Come on, bro. You don't gotta do that. Like, that ain't even necessary for you and who you are as a who you say you are as a man. That ain't got nothing to do with that. Like, you, that was some far fetched bullshit. Like, you clout chasing Kim Kardashian. Just drop your album and keep doing what you what we know you to do.
Exactly. Like, it when he first started off, it was cute, I guess, with, you know, the name drops here and there, you know what I mean? But then it's like, now you're gonna base your whole career. We know when he basically getting ready to drop an album.
Yeah, because he start dissing niggas and shit. Yeah, like, sure. That 50 Cent, you know, shit. I think he learned that from 50, because 50 used to do that when he first came out. But after that, 50's like, I'm cool, I don't gotta do that shit.
But that was a totally different era in rap. You know, exactly. They say now, you know, beef don't sell or move the needle to make people go pick up or, you know, all that. But during that era, during the golden age, man, beef was driving in millions of sales. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah, it was.
Think about, just like you said, just with 50 Cent. Everything that was going on with 50, okay. And for the people, they like him or don't like him, but I'm bringing Eminem into the situation. 50 had his whole thing going on. His shit sold 10, 13 million. Eminem, when he got involved in it, you know, he had brought Obie Trice along. People don't even really hear about Obie Trice no more. But when he dropped his first album went platinum. But it was because it was still attached to all that beat.
It was attached exactly.
Yeah. When D12 dropped their album, them shits went platinum because it was attached to all that beef.
Exactly. It was attached to the whole Christina Aguilera dissing them. So everybody was waiting on niggas to say some shit about whoever Eminem dissed.
Right. And they saved it, put it in their albums, and then people had to buy the albums to hear the diss. You know what I'm saying?
When the Outlaws dropped, they first shit. It was riding high off the beef that Pac had.
Yeah.
It's a formula. It happens every single time. The little homies blow up because, you know, it's something, you know, off the clout that they big homie did, or off the clout that the beef that they big homie had. Or I guess I can say they big homie or the leader of their group or whatever.
Let me ask you this. How do you feel about motherfuckers? It's kind of going off of what you just said, but how do you feel about a person or people that try to get clout off of what another motherfucker then did, but just because they either, that's either they homie, that could be their best friend or a family member. Say, for instance, just for example, if Monster Cody, what was that? Oh, what's that dude's name? That's the craziest thing to think of right now. Yeah. I don't know why that name is.
Yeah, I saw. I'm like, damn, okay. All right. Monster Cody, yeah. This is where we taking this conversation. You talking about some gangster shit now.
If that was, you know Monster Cody, but then he just got a random nephew, and not the nephew, he want to walk around and get stripes and want people to respect him because Monster Cody is his uncle. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you still respect him just because of that, or you respect him like, dog, no, you got to build your own respect out here on these streets. You know what I'm saying? I can't give you your uncle stripes.
It's just like this. I was going to drop some shit on my Instagram today about niggas and their music careers. But when it's authentic, we could tell.
Exactly.
If you really riding for somebody and it's for a real purpose and it actually, you know, we can always tell. I mean, you might get, you know, past the fakes, you know, you might get it passed through them, but I'm never the one to claim I'm a real nigga, but I could tell when it's genuine. I'll just say that. I know genuine when I see it and when I hear it. So if it's genuine, yeah. But the 90% of the shit that these niggas do now, it's not genuine. And I can smell it. I smell it straight up. It's not genuine. So if somebody is riding the coattail of somebody, it's going to come out because it's going to look goofy, first of all, because it always does. It always looks goofy. It's like, fuck is this goofy ass nigga? When you ride, you can ride off, and it, you can smell it. Yeah. Right. You can smell it every time. So, it's always going to show its true colors.
Like, it's best for that individual to get out here and whatever the lane they is and build their own name instead of trying to ride the wave. Because that's what make it hard to, like, not to say that P. Diddy's son don't have talent, but because of Diddy, it's going to make it harder for him because people are already looking at it like, bro, you didn't come from nothing to something to get here. You already probably had a studio in your house. You didn't have to pay studio time for it. You got access to everything you need.
Every dope rapper, yeah. And yeah, like, everything.
So, you know, so it kind of hurt that person. So I don't ever understand that shit, you know. And that this is a sub.
Nigga,
you know
nigga,
I mean?
Drop a song called Got It Out the Mud. Stop playing, nigga. Don't shelf that. Put that
right.
Back in the shelf.
Right. The mud next to the pond in your backyard on 19 acres. Yeah, like that mud, nigga. Yeah. That was the only mud you was around.
Yeah, Park Avenue. Nigga, stop playing.
But yeah, it's been a little situation where it's just this person, you know, and I'm not going to say, I just hope dude end up seeing this. Not necessarily seeing this as far as what we're saying, but just throughout his career and everything that he got going on, that don't try to attach yourself to something else that other people respect, because that's not you. You gotta make your own name out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just gotta put in your own work out here in these streets for people to respect you. Yeah, your
just
shit.
Like you said, so remind me of training day. You gotta put out your own work in here, Alonzo. You gotta put in your own work, Alonzo.
For real. You know, because there's only so far it can take you. You got some people that's in delicate positions where it worked for them, like Big Meech, son, Little Meech. You know what I'm saying? And I'm surprised. And I pray. I don't want, like I said, I don't never want anything. I don't wish bad on nobody, so I'm not saying this to put that energy in the air. I'm surprised that in this, that I guess that just goes to show how much and how many different people Big Meech touched in a positive way and made a positive impact on. Because we live in a world star era. I'm surprised that no one has tried to, quote unquote, try to get them a viral video off of Little Meech. You know what I'm saying? Because we just live in that much of a fucked up society where people don't respect shit. And mm-hmm. Like, oh, man, this would be perfect to catch Little Meech. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad that it hasn't happened. I don't never want it to happen. but it's just the society we live in right now. And you, he would have to make sure he definitely keep his antennas up, because someone looking to try to get their name popping off of you if they get the opportunity to.
Oh yeah, just like nigga, an hour, not even 2 hours after Nipsey got shot, it was a nigga on Instagram claiming that he shot the nigga and said, "Yeah, I was right there. I told the nigga what's up, blood, and I smoked that nigga." For real, bro, you really took it there.
Like, who are you? No one need to find out who he is, and he should have got his ass smashed.
I'm sure he probably did. Niggas is probably on his head, because niggas got money, bro. Niggas got money out here. Niggas will touch you. So, something foul, niggas will find you.
I hope that nigga was, like, in Iowa somewhere making that video. Like, you know what I mean? Because, nigga,
passing,
I'm like,
cows.
Yeah, because niggas need to find out who he is, because that's the only way that people gonna start even respecting these rules that were embedded in that world. Somebody got to enforce them. You know what I mean? That's the only way this shit gonna work. Somebody got to enforce them. That's
but niggas be telling, bro.
But
niggas
see,
be telling.
Right there.
That's
right
another
there.
Thing. Everybody get mad at enforcing principles. Everybody wants the principles enforced. But as soon as you enforce the principles, niggas is telling. I see, watched my father do the shit. Now he can't be convicted, but a nigga told him he wasn't gonna pay him. He said, fuck it. He shot this nigga. The nigga came to court. He's supposed to be a gang member. He got all kind of priors and all kind of robberies, armed robbery shit. I watched the nigga come to court pointing with the ET finger, like my nigga Mac Dre said. Nigga came to court with the ET finger. I seen it. I seen my pops face 30 to life, 30 years in the pen at 50 years old because some nigga pointed the finger after he got into some gangster shit. Okay, I'm gonna deal with gangsters. I'm gonna deal with gangsters accordingly.
But even on the rat tip, that shit still is supposed to be someone that enforced those rules on rats, because it used to be a time like that. You used to have motherfuckers where all they got, they didn't sell dope. You know what I'm saying? No heroin, no nothing. They didn't rob, no nothing. All they did was get paid to do hits, like the Hit Squad and different shit, motherfucker. Well, all they got paid to
mob
do,
shit.
But that all these people, the only time you contact them is when it's time to get rid of somebody. And that's what used to keep the ratting down back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Because you knew, if we couldn't get to the rat, now you know, you by ratting, you putting yourself and your whole intermediate family, anybody that we know that's close to you, in danger. See, it's that, those type of repercussions are not around no more, so people don't care about ratting. But a rat is so dangerous because they willing to tell on you, but then they working with the police. So it's like you down there going up against the police. You know what I mean? Because now the police down there tracking them. So if you go down and do something
the nigga. Yeah, you just sent your hitter. He finna get caught because he got the fans watching him 24/7.
You know, so it's an awkward ass, you know, and that's all the stuff out of this whole conversation, people listen, because none of this stuff we saying from a glorifying type of way. This is for them people that's, they listen to this.
I don't condone killing motherfuckers, but we live in a fucked up society where some people just need to be taken out. And I hate to say it, but some people need to be taken out. It's pedophiles running big companies. You know what I'm saying? It's all kind of people that's in positions of very, high power positions that control a lot, and they are foul people, and some people just need to be taken out, and that it is what it is.
Right. If I'm speaking from the stance of I got 10 toes in that world, then I can, without, you know, stick my chest out and say, yes, it's motherfuckers that need to get, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the only way that world is going to move in the direction that it needs to move in, if motherfuckers, really apply pressure and honor those rules by any means necessary. But if they just letting the lines of civilian and the underworld, the lines have gotten blurred. You know what I'm saying? They got blurred all together with motherfuckers trying to mix rational thinking with the street world, and it's two totally different type of things. So for that person that's possibly listening to this, that's either in the game, it ain't gonna just be you making money fucking hoes and living good. All this other bullshit
politics
come with it.
That's a whole lot of shit that come with it.
And yeah, that just because the game is fucked up, you maybe one out of 10,000, you may run across that one motherfucker that still abide by these old school rules that will fuck you up and willing to go sit down for it just off of principle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you got to know, like, you may not be able to just snitch your way up out of a situation. But that go back to 6ix9ine. The reason why I call him dangerous is because he's dangerous because he's a reflection of society where people got to even, you know, question the fact that when he's released, that he possibly will still even have a fan base.
He gonna be popping. He gonna drop the EP. It's gonna be the hottest shit. He, matter of fact, he gonna be he gonna drop an EP called Snitching. So what?
Instead of Stop Snitching, I'm Snitching.
Snitching, so what? He gonna have a tattoo. He gonna have a new tattoo. Snitching. So what? And that's gonna be the new shit. And then you gonna have just said, nigga, you got gay rappers. We would never thought we would have a straight up open homosexual rapper, but nigga, I done seen some crazy shit. Niggas in Slim be like, nigga, have you seen that crazy? I'm like, bro, I would have never thought I'd ever seen no shit like that. But this nigga's out here rapping about this. Like, what? I seen a group of little niggas on the block. You ever see that little video? It's a group of little niggas on the block. They rapping and they talking about, you know, inviting themselves to another man's private. Like, I'm sitting there like, nigga, what the fuck?
No, I ain't seen that.
Bro, this shit crazy.
I seen the other day. I don't know what his name is. Dan, I don't want, you know, give him too much promotion. But
right.
The dude down, he the young thug. The dude that's like the new young thug. Some space age jerk or some shit. Dude from Florida or something. This nigga was mad at the people, threatening people, all type of shit. This the nigga, his first video he came out, he was wearing a wedding dress and put the AK in his mouth.
Oh, yeah, man.
And now motherfuckers calling him gay. And he's getting mad because people was calling him gay. Like, bro, what are you... You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you mean?
What's going to come with that?
If I put on a doctor's outfit and motherfuckers call me a doctor, I'm going to get mad because you calling me right. What I'm appearing to be.
What I appear like, to be.
Right. Like, bro, you put on a dress and you was putting an AK in your mouth and moving it back and forth like you was sucking on it. If people call you gay, you're going to get mad about it. Like,
you got to run with that, bro. That's the jacket you put on, and that's the one that we seen you wearing. So that's what we're going to judge you off of.
Yeah, you know, and that's not even, you know, I done heard plenty stories about shit. And I don't agree with that, you know, lifestyle. People, to each his own, they do what they do, you know, stay within y'all boundaries of y'all particular. And I'm not saying like box yourself off or nothing like that, because I don't know how to say it. You know, we stay in this PC. All I'm saying, you know, people just do what the fuck they do. Just don't cross the boundaries. Everything got to be with respect. You know what I'm saying? Just because of one person gay,
respect,
don't come
on straight, man.
Yeah. But, you know, like, well, old boy, it's like, bro, you really getting mad at people because they calling you gay because of what you presented yourself to society as. What you think? But, yes, I've heard of, yes, it's gay niggas in jail or outside this world, me out in the free world, that may can beat a motherfucker ass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what tripped me out about the Nipsey shit when he had gave props to that convention thing that Big U had through.
Big U had, yeah. And everybody was mad. It was like, well, that, he just said it was a positive image without, you know, the homosexual shit, because obviously it's been pushed on us. I hadn't seen messages like we was had the conversation last time. It's advertisement in people's pages for, oh, is your kid trans? They don't see we're, it's fucked up because for us to have a solid foundation as men, what a man stands for, it's wrong now. But I can say Semper Fi, do or die, grab an AK, America, that's manly. But when I want my people to be who I want them to be, you know, for what represents a black man, that's wrong.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go too deep because the niggas would be, you know, I don't want nobody in their feelings, but it is what it is. But then again, it's no offense. So no offense, but we don't need no gay niggas in our community. We got snitches running around. Like, nigga, we don't need no gay shit in our community. We ain't got, right.
It's,
you know,
that's a part of population control, honestly. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
To me,
or
it's
vaccinations.
Bro, you just took the words out of my mouth. That right there, those two things, to me, it's, unless you just had millions of motherfuckers hiding it in the 80s and the 90s, you didn't see as many gay motherfuckers.
Never.
You didn't see as many people with like ADHD and all this stuff. Something has happened
over
time that made this happen. It didn't just, I don't believe that people, you know,
just be gay and confused. Like, I got a gay uncle, bro. This nigga been gay since the 70s. He ain't never been trying to push that shit on nobody.
He just do what he do.
He always did what he did. We knew that nigga was gay, but it was just like, he didn't have to push that shit on nobody.
Then that's when you be like, okay, you know, you just like, oh yeah, you know, he don't fuck women, this and that. But the lines that got so fucked up where it's like, you taking away from the straight people laws and, you know, you giving the other groups more power, then they can say and do whatever to us. But if we say something back, then you play in the victim role. And I'm not saying all of them is like that. I can never speak for all because I don't know all gay people. So I can't speak for all.
Right, right. We know, we don't want to do that. Right.
But the general, right. What you see as far as how this shit is playing out, you know, at the end of the day, it's like we see who's constantly getting put at the bottom of the totem pole. The straight black man is becoming bent and getting further and further at the bottom of the totem pole, where everybody else is more important. And that's what the fight, and that I wouldn't say the anger, but the conversation, the reason why. And the conversation, when it starts, a lot of times it may spark from some other shit, but that's really what the conversation is about. Like, you know, like, damn, when people go back and talk about President Obama and things that, different laws and things that he was passing.
He's known for pushing, getting gay marriage passed.
But what did he do directly for his own community? But see, because everything is about...
We're not going to remember that.
Since everything is about capitalism, you know, politicians pander to large groups. And whoever that large group that's spending the most money, the gay community is good at galvanizing and organizing and coming together. When, you know what I'm saying? If they going, you offend them and they want to shut your shit down, ban it, or if they want to come together and support, they come out in large numbers. They are a respected group. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Let's keep it a buck. Let's keep it all the way a buck. What do we hear about the casting couches and all this other shit about, you know, when people make it big or in big business, all these dudes be in the closet at the end of the day, right?
Are they willing to do whatever? Yeah.
Okay. So if they already get in the closet, whose agenda are they gonna push? They secretly gonna push whoever don't care about what they sucking and fucking on.
They want it to eventually be accepted so they can be out in the open about the shit they doing behind the scenes.
Bingo. You know? So now, I just had this conversation with Wifey earlier. We was walking, and I was telling her how, like, all the NAACP shit is falling under everybody except what it originally was supposed to represent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we got our ass whooped. We got dogs sicked on us and shit for everybody else to roll up under the NAACP umbrella, and it ain't got nothing to do with what, you know, black rights.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We still treat it like third-class citizens. Now, we done watched everybody come into America after us, being here, built this shit first, and everybody come up after us, and they went and they get more benefits than we do. They get more respect than we do. They got more say-so than we do. But we got our ass whipped for this shit, for everybody to come in here and claim, oh, well, I had it rough and this and that, but we didn't niggas with no jobs and no businesses. We don't own shit.
And we know it's purposely designed. You know, it's purposely designed this way. You know what I mean? And that's why I say, like,
at the end of the
day, all across the board of individuals and of color, and it's, I'll just say, all across the board of people that know right from wrong, and that right from wrong covers a lot of shit. We know racism is wrong. We know a lot of different things is wrong. I mean, people that's on the right side, we know what's right and all this stuff. You know what I mean? The people that's on the right side and not on the wrong side, we have to come together. We have to stick together. You know what I'm saying? It's power in numbers. You know what I mean? Like, it's only so, we should not be having this conversation another 400 or 500 years from now. You know what I'm saying?
But you keep letting money come in between principles and integrity.
Yeah. You know, and it's fucked up. No, it's super fucked up. You know, that's what make people, and definitely like myself, when I always talk about being, you know, off the radar, stay off to myself and stay out the way, it's like you damn near got to, because when you walk out that door, it's just so much going on.
Right. It's all kind of shit in that wind when it hits you. You mean that wind hits you so hard, you be like, let me close the door. Let me stand out.
Let me go back here. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because you just never know. You never know what this day is going to, the next day or the day ahead or the next minute ahead is really going to bring. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, regardless to whatever race a person is, whatever sexual preference they are, right is right, wrong is wrong. We got to start standing for the shit that's right. And when I say standing, like really going back to when we were talking about the street shit, applying pressure on the things that's right. It's only so much that the talking gonna do. It's only so much that the marching gonna do. We seen what, you know, I'm not saying stop doing these things, but at the same time, it's like,
you know what works and you know what ain't working.
Yeah, we got to find another level of what we need to do to get to that place, because it's not gonna fix for us to see during our lifetime, but maybe our grandkids or grandkids maybe reap the benefits of the fruit that we put into this world to make it better, so people can live a more stress-free life. You know what I'm saying? And not worry about bullshit.
Yeah, because it's hella stressful. This shit crazy. You know what? Before we, I got about 8% on this phone. I wanted to touch bases on, because this is a situation, or it's always a situation. Local artists always complain about how niggas don't support them, people hating on them. But when you see that they don't got no videos out, they ain't dropping no EPs, they not dropping no singles, they're not following the blueprint that's making people hot right now. What you feel about niggas that be like complaining about why they not popping? And you know, as far as music, I know you keep up with music. I keep up with music. And just me interviewing a lot of cats on B-Roll TV for the short time that I've been there, I interview cats and I see their grind. It's a lot of dudes that's like over 30 complaining about, y'all, the homies don't support me, man. Y'all hating and this and that, and this. I just be sitting there like, some people don't really want it.
Right, yeah.
It's like... You know, like,
how I look at it.
Chime in on that.
How I look at it, you know, if a person wants success, one, they gotta understand. And I'm not saying it's gonna be an easy thing, and I'm not saying that you're gonna just be able to ignore it all the time, but hate and success automatically gonna come. You know what I'm saying? So at some point in time, you always gonna face hate. But now we gotta break down really what hate is. I don't know these specific individuals or anything like that, but you know, you can't not be putting your best foot forward and expect for everybody else to push you to where you want to be. You got to be going out there and giving it 180%. And now that we in the social media technology age and stuff like that, just as much as we don't need labels and a machine behind you to get popping, you really don't need that brother or sister or anybody else that you may hope that they repost your shit and stuff. You don't really need that to get popping. If you consistent, got good work, and you doing what you're doing, eventually nothing gonna pop overnight. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you just gotta stay focused, stay on your goals, and just work. Keep working, and eventually it's gonna catch 5 people's eyes and 15 people's eyes and 20 people's eyes. And if it's meant for you, it will continuously grow. But if you devote a lot of 99% or more of your energy towards why people are not supporting me, rather than devoting the energy towards the people that are supporting you, you slowing yourself down any damn way. You're using too much of your energy towards that. That energy and that, we only using 1/2 of our brain anyway. So if you're using half of your brain towards that negative shit, you wasting your own goddamn time. You just can't focus on it. And I know that's easier said than done, because it's times that I can get caught up in when certain people do certain shit that I'd be wondering, like, damn, why they ain't do this or whatever the case may be. But yeah, I always have to slap myself back into reality, like, no, I can't focus on that, and use that energy as fuel to go harder. And just recognize, I think it's just, that's, you should be glad. Like I always say, not to cut you off, but like I say, I prefer, like I said, I walk in a room of 15 people that I ain't never met before. I'd rather drop $10 and someone steal that shit, and for me to figure out what type of people they are now, then 10 years out of line, metaphorically saying, if motherfuckers hating on you now while you small, take that as a blessing to learn what type of people they are, so you would know who not to fuck with when you do get in position. You know, I really do believe in the universe of the earth and the energy that you put out there, not just what you say and by your actions, but by your thoughts. You know what I'm saying? And if you allow your brain to get caught up in all that negativity, your world will stay, because your world is you. So if your brain is
like, you are your universe.
Yeah. You know, and if you allow yourself to get caught up in that, and it's going to happen, it's unfortunate. Yes, it is some people that you just wish that they would do more than what they're doing. But maybe take yourself out of your shoes and put it in theirs. You don't know what's going on in their life to the reason why they may not be doing it, doing whatever. I don't know. You know what I mean? I really don't know. That's a hard one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially. I was thinking about what you were saying earlier, because you were saying that most of your followers, people that you know, they didn't even know you was doing this. They didn't even know you had 50,000 followers. It was just like just following up. And once I look at music, I look at like Eric B and Rakim and them. These dudes is on tour. They not touring in America. They overseas getting it.
Yeah.
So when cats be looking at their SoundCloud, they reaching out to new people. All the people that I met on Instagram and all that, they knew people. Like, bro, we didn't grow up together. But right. We linked up now, and we making it happen. Now, why is it that I'm not making nothing happen with niggas I didn't grow up with? I've been knowing since for over 20 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the prime reason why I didn't. Strategically, the reason why I didn't tell people that's close to me that new endeavor of quote unquote going on to YouTube and doing that, because I truly do believe in that saying that majority of your hate is going to come from the hate. You know, hate, just say, take the majority of the motherfuckers that's going to either wish for your downfall or may try to destroy your shit or whatever the case may be, come from the people that personally know you based on their circumstance. If we all living on a poverty, drug-infested block, they don't want to see you doing something, because they want us all to stay, you know, they want you to all be the same. They want to wake up every morning, smoke blunts, drink, as long as we all in the same circumstance. But as soon as you take a step outside of that box and try to do something else, them will be the first people. Not all of them, but most of them gonna be the people. And that's why I didn't tell the people I personally knew. So I'm like, before, I'm not gonna allow these motherfuckers to destroy. I'm gonna make sure, at least get to a point where once it's big enough where you can't, it's too late. Now you know, but it's too late. You can't stop what I got going on. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. You're just going to fall in line. And that's why it's nothing wrong with sometimes when you got a goal and you know that particular goal don't match with the visions of the people that you personally know. It's nothing wrong with being by yourself and just focusing on that goal. Sometimes you do. It's going to have to be a point in time in life, unless your higher power just bless you to be able to, you know, accomplish all your goals with the people that you love and you grew up around. It's going to be a point in time in life where sometimes you just gotta get off to yourself and just grind and just work and do it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
you're gonna meet the people that need to be in position on the way to your goal.
Yeah.
Just like you were saying, when you meet people and they try, you know, they start gelling with you, they gonna fall off eventually, because you're gonna know if they genuine or not. And whatever energy you put out is gonna let them know, okay, I can't be fake with him.
Yeah,
he can smell the bullshit. So, all right, cool, I'm out. All the people that's really with you, that really gonna support you, they're gonna be down with you. And there's very few people that I've met that have been hella supportive in what I do. I haven't even known these niggas for the past 10-5 years.
Right. Yeah. And I look at it, I feel that same way. You know what I mean? Just like the example you said, like us not growing up together, but however it ended up, I can't even remember how it even came together. But since that time, the conversations about progression and tactics, branding, and how to do this or whatever, whatever, you know, a lot of, and you be, I know I even had them thoughts like, damn, you know, I wish I could have these conversations with such and such and this person I'd have known 20 something years and you just can't do it. You know what I mean? They'd be like, and you can't force people not to be either on your side. You can't force motherfuckers to be more than what they want to be because they may be just satisfied with what they got going on. Because even right now, and I feel like where the platform is at right now, not even 5 or 10% of where I want it to be. And there's certain people in between day one and now that I wanted to try to include in it. People I personally know, one of my homeboys from Chicago, he was there the day, not personally next to me, but he was there. We was on the phone the day that I even started the email that was going to be the email to basically, you know, create the YouTube and all that shit. He was supposed to, that I peeped that people was weighing in, giving their thoughts and stuff like that. And the way he came to me was like, man, hey, you heard of this dude? He doing this channel. He talking the hella shit about Chicago, this and that, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, man, well, you from Chicago. And my dude, he has his own personality. He's educated. He from the streets. He got education. He witty about himself and stuff like that. Got his own personality. He not like a sheep to the media. You know,
right. he got his own opinion. He's his own person.
Exactly. So I'm like, man, why don't, you know what I'm saying, we do this and that. And he was down with it. So I end up creating the email, creating the YouTube, this and that. But I swear, throughout this whole process, he probably done said to me like 7 or 8 times, like, damn, I should have started my shit when you did. And but the thing is, still to this day, he still has not started it. Look how many years just talking.
You know what's crazy? This is a true story before I get up out of here. My homegirl was doing interviews on YouTube, right? This is back in like 2015.
Yeah.
She knows Rollo Styles. Nipsey producer that produced, I think it was Crenshaw, I believe, or I think the first of the marathon. Mm-hmm. And the homie, I was telling the homie, like, oh, you know, because I was making beats at the time. And I was telling her, I was like, man, I need to link up with Rollo because he know how to make beats. And, you know, I might be able to give Nipsey a beat one day or just somebody from his camp. Somebody. I don't care if it's Dom Kennedy. Do know the people I need to know, right?
Right.
I'm telling a homie about this. I guess the homie was in his feelings at the time. I guess his baby mama listened to Nip, right? So the homegirl told me, just holla at him. Now, the homegirl only did 2 interviews. It was me and it was Rollo. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling the homie, like, hey, let's do that. You know what the nigga told me? Oh, man, fuck that nigga, man. We got our own shit. I said, well, I don't got my own. Like, nigga, it's all about networking.
Right, right, yeah.
And now, I got the homie saying, oh, man, rest in peace, did this and that. I'm like, bro, you was on fuck that camp type of, you know what I'm saying? Like, just to link up.
Yeah, you say
like, niggas don't want to shine. Niggas don't want to do nothing, bro. Like, it'd be like, bro, it was just the nigga hit me back. The nigga actually hit me back. It was like, nigga, come to the studio. I was gonna pay for whatever I need to do. It's gonna be some engineering, and I was gonna work with the nigga on some beats I already had, just to know what I'm doing with my equipment and how to make things sound better. But the homies like shot it down so bad. I was like, damn, nigga, what kind of animosity you got?
Yeah, yeah, and that
weirdo element, shit.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you know, man, before we get up out of here, if you want to go ahead and tell everybody, you know, everything that you got going on and where they can catch you at.
Oh yeah, man, check me out every Wednesday, Be Real TV, Heavyweights Live. Facebook is definitely live on Facebook. Working on the YouTube thing, because what happens is we be playing videos. And they definitely flag us on that. But we definitely on Facebook Live working on some shit. Tap in. You know, DMF Blake. Check my Instagram out. I might be dropping something. I'll try to drop something, you know, as much as I actually can. And, you know, just tap in. At DMF Blake on Instagram. You never know what I'm up to. I just to be honest, we're gonna be dropping this. We didn't know we was gonna drop this, but you know, we're gonna drop this. And check out the last episode 5 on Spotify. And in a couple days, I actually dropped a song I did about I made this song I don't know how many years ago, but it's gonna be on Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, all that. I'm gonna post it on my Instagram when it clears, because when you upload your music, it takes a couple days to clear. But I just dropped a single. I'm not gonna push it until, you know, y'all can download it. So, you know, tap in at DMF Blake, and you know, you never know what I'm gonna be up to.
Word. And everybody, you know, just continue to tap in over here, you know, either on the YouTube, you know, support, make sure you share. And, you know, and one thing that y'all can do, especially if you're listening to this on the Anchor podcast, they do have this thing set up where you're able to leave voice messages. And of any of these platforms, because you may be listening to it on a few different places, if you could leave comments, hit favorite, or do whatever you got to do to just support. And by y'all support, that'll let us know to keep pushing. You know what I mean? And maybe as time go by, we'll start inviting, because the way we got this set up, we can invite other people into our conversations. So if you supporting and we end up catching, paying attention, we'll reach out or something like that and bring you on it, you know, to have a conversation with y'all. You know what I mean? But we appreciate everybody for tapping in.